The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 13 in our Revelation series. This message is called Demons at the Euphrates River. We will be looking at Revelation chapter 9, verse 13 to 21 for this study. Let's read it together. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar, which is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. As we continue through the study of the book of Revelation, we find that the scriptures have informed us that three horrible catastrophes are coming to the earth about the middle of the Great Tribulation period. This is the last three trumpets that are about to be blown. They are the three woes, and each of them will release demon spirits on the earth. Up till now, there has been terrible judgments, natural calamities, including earthquakes and asteroids, plagues and wars, and terrible things have happened. But an eagle seraphim flew through middle heaven and cried out a warning to the inhabitants of the earth. He said, "Woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth for the last three trumpet sounds that are about to be blown." And each of these last three trumpet sounds release a demonic force on the earth. We just discovered that the first of these three woes released a cloud of demon spirits that came up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit. And they had a king over them whose name was Apollyon. He is the beast. They're released on the earth to bring torment to the people who do not have the name of God or the seal of God on their foreheads. And they will suffer torment and torture for some 5 months. This is the terrible, horrible nightmare that has come upon the people of God. And now the second woe is released upon the earth. And the scripture tells us that it begins with the call that comes from the horns of the golden altar, which is before God.
And this altar is the altar of prayer. This is the place that your prayers are put when they go up to heaven. If it is not the time for your prayers to be answered, they are stored in a flaming fire on the altar of incense before the throne of God. But they will come to pass. These prayers will be answered. And this is part of the answer of those prayers. The altar, whether it is the altar in the Old Testament tabernacle or temple, or here the altar in heaven, one was made after the pattern of the other. And they have these horns on the corners of the altar. And from these horns comes this word to release these demon spirits. Horns speak of power. If we understand biblical symbolism and the symbolism that is in the book of Revelation, we find that Jesus has seven angels. They are called seven horns. We will find that the beast has heads and horns. It doesn't mean that he's got these horns coming out of his head. It means that he has leaders who he calls horns. And they represent authority and power. They are like the horns of a bull. I have a friend in Texas who is a rodeo bull rider. And he has a big scar on his cheek from when he was very young. And he was riding on a bull. And he got knocked off the bull and the bull put the horn right through his face. Now he has a metal plate and screws in his jaw. He still looks pretty good. They fixed him up nicely. But he knows the power of these horns. And this is the symbol that is on the four corners of this altar that is before God. And from these horns comes this word that to release these demons who are at the river Euphrates. We read that the angel blows the sixth trumpet, and then the word comes from the four horns at the altar. And then the scripture says, and the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month were released. These demon spirits are given the ability to start war with the nations of the world. They have the ability to take an awful, violent world and make it much more violent. The intensity of war at this time will escalate beyond anything that we could ever imagine because it will be infused with demonic inspiration and darkness. The four dark angels will be able to wind up the world until it spins into war. For years before this time, before the release of these four demons, the nations will have been at war. But their power will take war to a whole new level. Their strategy will cause one third of the remaining people on the earth to die during this middle of the Great Tribulation war. Now, there was a war before this time. If you remember the four horses that were released at the very first campaign, the first judgments, there was a white horse and a red horse and a black horse and a gray horse. And the red horse represented war. That war happened in all the nations of the world. It wasn't just focused on Jerusalem, but everywhere around the world, there was civil war. There was nation fighting against nation. There was gang warfare, every kind of violent act that would be involved in one group fighting another group. That took place. I believe that it was a war, primarily this first war at the beginning of the Great Tribulation period, was a war primarily focused at destroying dictators on the planet. Right now, in our political world, there is a thrust to bring the dictatorial nations to democracy. When President Bush sent the armies of the United States into Iraq, he called for democracy. When they went into Afghanistan, they called for democracy. This is a sign of the times. Some people say, well, democracy can never work in those nations because they have dictators and they have strong religious beliefs that resist any kind of people rule, populist rule, democracy. But President Bush went in there and said the world needs to only have democracies, and we will take a stand for all with all those nations who will have democracies. Now, whether he fails and whether we see democracies coming right now or not is not the issue. The issue is we're moving in a direction. And even if right now we don't see all the nations becoming democratic, by the time we are into the first year of the tribulation period, the nations of the world will all be democracies. And there will be no more dictators that will rule over a specific nation and oppress the people. There may be governments that are oppressive, but it will be the people themselves that vote them into power. And this is what we saw, this kind of battle. I mentioned to you earlier that the Arab nations will lose their power. And this will happen at that first war because of that red horse. That the Arab nations who have the religion of Islam, they will lose their power. The scripture told us that Damascus will no longer be a city. That's the capital of Syria. The scripture tells us that Tyre and Sidon, the two strong seaports of Lebanon, will be destroyed and burned to the ground. The scripture tells us that the people of Gaza shall lose their power and their hope. In fact, all of the Muslim regimes of the world, they will still exist during the Great Tribulation, but they will lose their power. And the militant Islamic threat will be wiped off the earth at the beginning of the tribulation period. But now there is another battle coming. This battle is much greater and much larger than the previous war that involved all the nations of the world. This battle is focused on Israel. This battle is specifically against the people of God and the purposes of the Lord. By this time, in the book of Revelation and in the Great Tribulation period, already 2.5 or 3 billion people have died. Probably up to 1/2 of the people on the earth have died by the midpoint of the Great Tribulation, by the 3-year point. That many people will have died, which leaves only 3 billion or 3.5 billion people left on the planet at this time. So when the scripture says that this war will kill 1/3 of the people, we can expect that 1 billion, at least 1 billion people will die in this war. Now, it takes place on the river Euphrates. We read that the demonic lords, these 4 demon spirits, have been imprisoned along the Euphrates River. And this Euphrates River runs through modern-day Turkey in the north and into Iraq in the south. Animosity between Muslims and Jews will probably be the reason, at least the initial spark, for this attack. At least from people on the earth, from their perspective, they will rally together against Israel because by this time, Israel will have grown in size. Even now, you find the world leaning toward the Palestinian cause. They say in politics, Perception is reality. It doesn't matter what the facts might be. It's the spin that goes out through the media that determines the way people think. And at that time, by this time in the Great Tribulation, there will have been many attacks by the Arab Muslim nations against Israel. But the Bible teaches us that every time Israel is attacked, that she will defend herself and she will injure those people who are attacking her. If you open your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 12 and read there verse 3 and verse 9, we find that is exactly what happens. In Zechariah 12, verse 3, it says, "On that day, when all the nations of the earth have gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations." And then in verse 9, it says, "All who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem." That's exactly what will happen between now and the tribulation period. Israel will be attacked many, many times. You know, in 1948, Israel became a nation. That is 60 years ago. This year, she's celebrating her 60th birthday as a nation. And of those 60 years, she has only had 10 years of peace. The other 50 years have been war of one kind or another that has come against the Jewish people. But the Lord says that at a certain time, he's going to make Jerusalem an immovable rock among the nations. Well, that certainly didn't happen in Jesus' time or in the time of the apostles in 70 AD. And up to that time, they were under Roman conquest. And in 70 AD, Jerusalem was razed to the ground. And the people were scattered among the nations for 2,000 years. And it's amazing that they survived in all of those nations. If they didn't have the Jewish law, they would have lost their identity. But the Lord told them, you have to keep the Jewish law. So wherever they were in the nations of the world, whether it was Spain or Poland or any other nation, they kept their law. And by keeping their laws, they kept separate from the other peoples of the world until the sound of the Lord was blown in the trumpet again. And in 1948, Israel became a nation. From that point, Jerusalem has become an immovable rock among the nation. No time until this last 60 years has Israel been an immovable rock. And now Jerusalem and Israel cannot be moved. Why? Because God is their national defense. It doesn't matter if the Jewish people are good, bad, or indifferent. This is God's plan. And if you fight them, you inadvertently fight God. In fact, the Lord says, "On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock among the nations, and all who come against Jerusalem will injure themselves." So whenever the Arab nations that have surrounded Jerusalem have attacked her, Israel has defended herself, and most of the time she has gained more land. She has gained the Golan Heights. She has gained the West Bank. She has gained the Gaza. She even took over part of the Sinai Peninsula, but gave it back to the Egyptians. But the Lord tells us that he will protect Israel during this time. The scripture in Zechariah that says Jerusalem shall become an immovable rock refers to the time we're living in right now, because there's no other time in history when Jerusalem was immovable. But she will grow. We will expect the nations to continue, the Arab nations, to attack Israel. And every time they attack her, in fulfillment of the prophecy, they will injure themselves, and the land of Israel will grow. It will grow this way and that way. It will grow to the north. It will grow to the east. It will grow to the west. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18 that the Lord promised Abraham that the Jewish people would have the land from the great river of Egypt, which I believe to be the Nile, to the river Euphrates. And that's how big the land of Israel will become, east to west. But it will also grow to the north, because the scripture says that all the land of the Hittites shall become the land of the Israelites. And so Lebanon, even part of Turkey, Syria, will become part of Israel. Jordan will become part of Israel, and half of the country of Iraq will become part of Israel by the time we get to the Great Tribulation period. And that is why these demons, these dark angels, the four demonic angels, are on the river Euphrates, just some 30 miles away from the present city of Baghdad. And there are four demon lords there right now as I speak. They have been put in chains. I can imagine that sometime in the eons of history past, these demonic warlords rebelled against their creator. They sided with Lucifer, who is Satan and the devil, and they were defeated back then. And the Lord said, I have a use for you. I'm going to put you in a prison on the earth at the place called the River Euphrates. And they were put in chains there. The Bible says that they were put in chains there until this time and this month and this day and this season where they would be needed would come to pass. And so they were released. And when these warmongering demon lords are released, it's not that they themselves will go and incite the nations to war, but they will all of a sudden have great command over millions of demonic spirits. The people of the world will already be in this hotbed of tension, some focusing their attention on the Lord and others totally captivated with the passion of darkness and witchcraft and the Antichrist spirit. And these demon lords will release a multitude of demons who then will work with other demons, and they will be in every country and every place. And then there many of them will go and live inside of people. And then they will incite the nations to war. This will be the great thing, but it won't just be nation against nation, but all the nations shall come against Jerusalem for this great war. And they will come up out of the river Euphrates, because that is the border of Israel at this time in history. The scripture says that John heard the number of their mounted troops that began to march on Jerusalem. He even says, I heard the number. There was 200 million mounted troops in this great army. Now, at the time when John was on the earth and the Roman Empire was in control of that part of the world, it is estimated that there was only 250 million people living on the whole planet. 250 million people on the whole planet. And that's why when John gives this number, he says there was 200 million soldiers on mounts, on horses. It would seem inconceivable to the people of that day to have so much of the world population, because there wasn't that many adults alive in John's day. There was only half of that number of men on the planet if you had people from all the nations of the world. So when John starts to say that number, he has to restate it. He has to say, I heard their number. Now today, 200 million soldiers still might be a huge number, but it's very conceivable when you think of 100,000 coming from this country and 100,000 coming from that country and 500,000 perhaps coming from this country and all of the nations sending their soldiers to this battle. All of a sudden, the number 200 million soldiers is not far-fetched. The scripture says that they rode out on funny-looking horses. If we look at the description of the horses and what they do, it's very easy to see that John was describing modern-day military installations. He says, the horses and riders I saw look like this. And he goes on to describe them. He says they were blue and red and yellow. He says the heads of the horses look like lions' heads. And out of their mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur. And then he said a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur. He said that the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails. And their tails were like snakes, having heads that shot out fire and smoke and sulfur. It seems very clear that that could be the way that John would describe a missile launcher or a machine gun on the back of some kind of tank. If he saw a creature that was moving, he knew that this was a strange creature, something he had never seen before. He had never seen a metal mechanism that moved along the earth and turned this way and that way and up and down. To him, it must have looked like a living creature. There were people that he could see standing on these mounts. To him, the only thing he could think of was that these were some kind of horse. And these men were going to war. But they had something that looked like a tail coming out the back. Maybe it was the muzzle of a gun. And out the front, they had an opening that looked like the big mouth. They looked like the head of a lion. If you just think of the fairing, the kind of shield that might go around the gun that the soldier might stand behind to protect himself. It could look like the mane of a lion if it went up and out to the sides. And who knows what kind of picture this might be painted on there. It was blue and red and yellow. It wasn't just metallic color. Even today, we have graphic cartoons of movies like Cars, where the car is shown to look like it has the face of a man. Its headlights are eyes, and its bumper is a mouth, and the grill looks like teeth. Somebody seeing that from an ancient time wouldn't know how to describe it. They would be stumbling to describe it. But here we find John says that there were mounts with 200 million soldiers, and